Hebrews chapter 6, if you will. Beginning to read there, verse number 1. Amen. Thank you, musicians, worshipers, people of God. God bless you. Amen. Let me put that over there. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning to read at verse number 1. Today I don't believe I could even call this a sermon. What I have is from the Word. It's a Bible study, if you will. Perhaps I'll preach some, but really it's teaching. But it's something so very, very simple and basic, and yet something that is so important in our life. It is something that every one of us, including me, including you, everybody needs to hear this message. Amen. Praise the Lord. You'll see in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth drinketh in the rain, and cometh oft upon it, or that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. My topic is just a simple word. Repentance. Would you say that with me? Repentance. It is a powerful word. Let me speak of it. Lord, I pray, I ask your hand, God, upon this message, upon the preaching, upon the teaching, upon, Lord, what we would hear today. I pray that you would quicken my mouth, Lord, that you would bless our understanding, that you would anoint us, God, by your Spirit, and Lord, that we would understand repentance. It is so important, it is so privileged, it is such an honor to be able to repent. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. I pray your blessing on it. On us with it, Lord, even right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. Repentance. What a powerful word. What a privileged word repentance is. Repentance from dead works. Repentance from our old way of life. It is one of the base principles of the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Without repentance, you will not be saved. It's an essential portion of our salvation. And yet, in our world, it is misunderstood. Repentance is actually one of the very first steps with action involved in our salvation process. It's one of the action steps taken when we start our path toward salvation from sin. Believing and faith, of course, they precede repentance. They are the inward works that produce and cause us that we would want to repent. Repentance is an action-filled step known to God, ourselves, and everybody else that knows us. It is a private or often public step to bring about positive results in our lives. Because we have a sinful carnal nature that is within us. And that, yes, we have committed sinful acts. And yes, repentance is essential in our turning to God. Repentance. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful gift to us. Repentance. Now, the definition of repentance, Webster's dictionary says, to feel sorry or self-reproach for what one has or hasn't done. To feel so contrite over one's sins as to change or decide to change one's ways. Webster's version of repentance. Repentance is used two ways in the Bible. I'm not real good at speaking Greek or Hebrew. Metamelonomi. Metamelonomai. I don't know if you know how to pronounce that word better than me. The Greek word means to regret, to care afterwards, be sorry for. Basically, regret. And the next word, a Greek word, metanoi, I don't know, M-E-T-A-N-A-E-O. It is a Greek word that means to think differently, to change one's mind, change purpose or opinion. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, I'm going to read that in just a moment. It uses both terms in the original Greek of the New Testament. Paul refers to a letter he wrote the Corinthians telling them that he didn't have a change of mind about the letter, although he regretted he had to write it. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, beginning there. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage, or that ye might... that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. In our elements class, we were talking about this very topic. And I'm not doing it on purpose, but it seems as if my preaching is following along with our elements class. Repentance is so powerful. It changes when we truly repent, when we choose not to live in the world or of the world or in the world or to be committed to the world. When I choose Jesus Christ, my whole life is on a new path. Amen. Amen. I've chosen the path that leads me to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do not repent, it says in verse number 8. It means I have not changed my mind. The next part also, verse number 8. Though I did repent. He's kind of like going both ways, right? I do not repent, though I did repent. Verse number 8, meaning I do feel regret and sorry. I'm sorry that you feel sorry. It goes on to say, it refers to repentance to salvation. Verse number 10. Meaning, a change of mind. Not to be repented of. Verse number 10. I am never going to regret my choice to choose Jesus. I'm never going to be sorry for my path toward Jesus Christ. Amen. The sorrow of the world worketh death, while godly sorrow worketh repentance. Verse number 10. Causing us to change our mind. I changed my way of thinking. It changed my direction when I repented with godly sorrow. This type of sorrow of repentance or repentance is not to be repented of. I'm never going to regret my path in living for Jesus. Amen. I don't have to be apologetic. I don't have to repent of my choice to live for Jesus. Amen. I'm not sorry that I changed my path. Amen. Feeling sorry isn't repentance from dead works. People feel sorry quite frequently. A lot of times the drug addict is sorry that he hurt other people. The alcoholic may be sorry that he let people down. You know, the sinner in the world is often sorry that things turned out bad. They may even feel bad that things are bad. But that's not repentance from dead works. It's not godly repentance. It's just feeling bad about bad stuff. Bad stuff makes you feel bad, in case you didn't know. Wow, what a revelation. Pastor, whoo! Wow, you're so brilliant. Bad stuff makes you feel bad. But that's not repentance if you keep living in the bad stuff. Jesus wants us to have a godly sorrow. A repentance that changes our mind. It changes our thinking. It changes our path that our life will take. Feeling sorry isn't repentance from dead works. Judas repented himself. He felt so bad that he, you know, sold Jesus out. Yeah, I'll show you where he is. I'll lead the soldiers to him. I'll even signal who he is. I'll give him a kiss. And then he did it. He led the soldiers right where Jesus would be. He pointed out who Jesus was, and he kissed him as a sign that this is the man that you're supposed to arrest. You know, he felt so bad after what he did, that he killed himself. That is not repentance unto salvation. God repented. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. Meaning that he was sorry that he had made man. Man had become so corrupt, and his thoughts were continually evil on the earth. Mankind had gone so far away from God that God was sorry that he made man. You know, I've had young children. I've got four kids, in case you didn't know. And sometimes, believe it or not, even Christian kids misbehave. Now, as their dad, it was my obligation to discipline them. Believe it or not, I believed in spankings. Some kids got more spankings than other ones. Alyssa got very few. No. But some. Now, I was doing that, I was disciplining them, because I wanted them to know it's not okay to disobey. That as your dad, I require your cooperation. And if you do not cooperate, there will be discipline. And I want you to understand that doing right is going to be good for you. And doing bad is going to be bad for you. Amen. It did not give me joy to give out spankings. But it was absolutely necessary. I believe God does discipline his children. When you are doing right, I tell you by confidence in God's word and by experience that when you do right, God will bless you. And on the same hand, when you do wrong, there is disaster that awaits you. Amen. Keep every scripture referring to repentance in context or relation to the background of that text. Definitions of repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works is turning from, repenting of, and changing our mind about works or actions that produce spiritual death or separation from God in our lives. This is not in my notes. It is something we mentioned in our Elements class. When we truly repent, when we truly make the decision, I am going to forsake that way of life. I am not going to go down that path of sin any longer. When you make the decision, I choose to live for Jesus Christ. I choose to serve him with all of my heart, with all of my life, with all of my strength, with everything that is within me. I want to serve God. It brings us down the path that Jesus will bless. And then there is that path where they don't make that choice. I've got a brother, I've got a sister. We were raised in the same home, had the same parents, were brought to the same church, heard the same preaching, know the same God, had the same experience. We were, each of us, repented and baptized in Jesus' name, and we were filled with the Holy Ghost. We had a relationship with God. We were involved in church. It was a part of our lives. And then each of us went our separate ways and went astray. Every one of us went away from God. But I could see the path that I was on was headed for disaster. Life without God, if you read the back of the book, you lose. It's disaster. It's an unacceptable ending. I don't want my life to end in hell. I don't want my life to be tormented with destruction. I don't want my life to be like that. And yet I can see the path that some have chosen has led to disaster. And I can see that God has blessed my life. Amen. Sin entered the world by one man, and death by sin, both physical and spiritual death. Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. I've got way more verses than I could read. In an abbreviated time period. I mean, I guess I could keep you here to 3 o'clock, but... Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James chapter 1, verse 15. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 23. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, God has quickened. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Quickened we who are dead in sins. Colossians 2, verse 13. The blood of Christ purges our conscience from dead works. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Works of the flesh will produce spiritual death. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Sin, as we can see, works not only physical death in our lives, but spiritual death as well. And I tell you, the spiritual death, you think things are bad now? Things are going to get worse later. No matter how bad things are, no matter how tragic things may be, no matter how desperately you're looking for help, if you don't change your path, it's disaster in the end. Salvation brings life to the soul now. God will help you right now and in eternity if we will continue in the path of salvation. You see, these dead works or death-producing works must be repented of to find new life. Jacob, in his return to Bethel, which is the house of God, he commanded the members of his household to do 3 things. Let me read Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 to 3. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answereth me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Three things. He said, put away the strange gods from among you. It's a type of removing anything from your life that separates you from God. There was a time in my life I had to choose not to do the things of the world and to choose to do the things of God. Number two, he said, be clean. It's a type of cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. I had to quit that carnal mindset. Quit those evil ways. I had to stop doing those things that I was doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You see, this is accomplished by heeding, by doing, by listening to understanding the Word of God. Number three, he said, change their garments. This is a type of laying aside the garments of sin, of being clothed and being clothed with salvation. Nineveh is mentioned in the Bible. It was a vast, great city of Assyria. And that great city repented at the preaching of Jonah the prophet. They fasted. Both man and beast did not eat for 3 days. They turned from their evil way. This means turning from evil. When we achieve true repentance, we will turn from evil. Amen. And they turned from violence in their hand. See, God saw their spirit and spared them. I tell you, when somebody really repents, when they turn from sin to God, God always sees us. Amen. And Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel gave an answer to the king on true repentance. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Break off thy sins by righteousness. This is how true this should be in our lives today. We got to break off iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, that it may be lengthening of thy tranquility. I know the people who are on the ungodly road, they are tormented in their mind. And I also know that the path toward Jesus Christ has tranquil. I have a peace that surpasses my understanding. God has kept me in His peace. Amen. Even when turbulent times come, even when trouble arises, even when the world is going crazy, God keeps me in His peace. Praise the Lord. Isaiah is one of Israel's greatest prophets, gives a real insight into repentance. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Anybody felt God here in this service today? Even while you were praying in the pre-service prayer and the worship and the singing and the songs and the magnifying of God, have you felt God here? I have. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord. Call on him. You could do that right now, here today in this service. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. You see, the result of this type of repentance is God will abundantly pardon. Amen. My God is the forgiver of sin. Amen. Works meet for repentance. There are some things a person must do to prove to God that man that one has repented. One manifest token of one's repentance is restoration. Restoration of things taken, of damages, of damaged relationships. Meet means suitable, proper, fitting, appropriate, worth, and becoming. Bringing forth, therefore, meet for repentance. Therefore bringeth forth fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3, verse 8. Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Paul was talking to King Agrippa. Everyone, if you're the king or anyone else, we still need to repent. Paul identifies in Acts 26, verse 18, many wonderful things that will happen to a person turning to God for salvation. Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. We got to have our eyes opened. Turn from darkness to light. Turn from the power of Satan unto God. Receive forgiveness of sins. And we have an inheritance. Amen. Scripture reference on repentance. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Jesus is saying, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I tell you, it's time right now to repent, to turn to God, to follow Him, to choose the path that will lead to Jesus. I've got about 2 hours of scriptures here. I cannot read them all. God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Goodness of God leads us to repentance. Romans 2, verses 4 to 9. Commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Peradventure, God will give them repentance. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 3. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Acts 2:38. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. And repentance, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Luke 24, verse 47. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted. Acts 3, verse 19. God has granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. Acts 11, verse 18. You see the results of repentance. God's word is very clear and distinct on the matter of repentance. When we truly repent, we get results. God forgives us. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, Ephesians 4:32. Forgiven you of all trespasses, Colossians 2:13. To give repentance unto Israel and the forgiveness of sins, Acts 5:31. In whom we have forgiveness of sins, Corinthians 1, verse 14. Let me read this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse number 11. Seven works of repentance. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrow after a godly sort. What carefulness? Someone say carefulness. It wrought in you. Yea, what clearing. Someone say clearing. Of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Someone say indignation. Yea, what fear. Someone say fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Can you say that? Vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Someone say zeal. Go like that with your head. Zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Carefulness. I want a watchfulness. Lest you sin. Even though you're coming to church, even though you're a child of God, you better be careful. You still got to be careful. Clearing. I can have a clear conscience when I'm repented. Indignation. And hatred of sin. My wife and I were just talking the other day. We're riding by the marijuana store, and there's a bunch of them around. You know, it used to be illegal. And so was whiskey. At one time, it was illegal. But they've legalized all these elements of sin. That doesn't make it okay, just because it's legal. There's a whole bunch of things out there in the world that God does not want us to partake in. I hate the smell. I want whiskey stinks. Marijuana is awful. I mean, other than the cigarette smoke on somebody that's coming to repent. Now that's cool. That's okay. But if they keep smelling like cigarettes, something's wrong. What did I get off on? Hatred of sin, indignation, fear of God and of sin's result. I don't want to go to hell. I do want to go to heaven. There is a godly fear in me. Vehement desire. I tell you, with all that is within me, with everything from my toes to what's left of my hair on my head. Every part of me wants to serve God. Amen. Everything within me. wants to see, a vehement desire, zeal in working for the house of God. Revenge, used in the sense of giving justice and punishment of sin. And the parables. The parable of the two sons. I don't have time. I can't read all these things in the scripture. Just take too long. The two sons in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. The father asked one to go out into his vineyard. He said, no, I'm not going. And later he repented and he went out. The other son, when he asked him to go, he said, sure, Dad, yes, I'll go. And then he didn't go. Which one did the will of his father? Go ahead and repent and do right. The parable of the lost sheep. You know the story. He left the 99 in the wilderness that he might find the one. And then when he found it, you know, he didn't beat him and scold him. And he picked him up and he carried him home and he rejoiced. I found my lost sheep. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven. Get this now. In the presence of the angels. You know, I've heard preachers say, oh, the angels are rejoicing. That's not what the scripture says. In the presence. Now, in heaven right now, what is there? There's angels, God created beings, and God. If there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels, in my mind, I see God. Woo! He's come back! He's repented! God is rejoicing when one repents. I believe God Himself is rejoicing when we repent. Amen. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm jumping over page 7, 8, and 9. I'm jumping way to the end. I'm jumping over like 20 scriptures. But I'm going to close with this. When we confess our sins, He forgives us and cleanses us. Confession and forsaking of sin brings mercy. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. In prayer, we are to ask for forgiveness. Matthew 6. 5 to 15. It's scriptural to ask God to forgive us. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We got to be really careful not to hold grudges, not to keep, oh, that person did me wrong. You know what? Pray for that person. Job, nobody here has had it as bad as Job did. You might have had a hard time, Ben, but it wasn't as bad as Job. Job had true hardship. Satan came against him, tormented him, his family, his belongings, his flesh, full of boils, just painful, gross, stinking, awful. mess. And then his quote-unquote friends, his buddies, they just came and couldn't say anything. They stared at him for days. Then they got to thinking, stinking thinking. You know, when you're thinking things of the flesh, he must have done something really bad to do. Wow, this guy's in a bad way. He must have the judgment of God upon him. He must be really awful in sin. You know, his friends thought things that weren't true. I want to point this out. It was when Job got told by God, actually his buddies, his three buddies were told, bring these sacrifices, offer them before God, and then ask Job to pray for you. The three buddies were asked to give the sacrifices and to pray that Job would pray for them. Now get this. Job is real low at this point in his life. And when Job prayed for his friends that were saying bad things for him, about him, when Job prayed for his buddies that came and stared at him, when Job prayed for his friends that accused him of ungodly things, God turned Job's problems around. Job's life, again, turned to good. God ended up blessing him with double his belongings, restored his flesh, blessed his life, again, restored a family to him. God gave him a blessed life in his end because he prayed for his friend.
Yes, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Lead us to repentance.
I believe every one of us can repent.
Amen.
If this is your first day here, or if you've been walking with God for decades, it doesn't matter. You can ask God, if there be any unclean thing in my life, would you purge me, help me, cleanse me? Would you lift your hands? As we conclude this service, as we ask and close in prayer, I'm asking God, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, I want to repent.